Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
So I'm glad that I'm not the only one who hadn't heard of mukbang as a trend. Anton L. saying, I didn't hear about it. I haven't heard about it either. Roland saying, it's a virtual dinner table. Yes, it is. But you don't have to. Why would anybody want to watch other people eat? I don't understand this for the life of me. Sadiqa Fakir is a foodie and food blogger. Maybe you do. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. A bit horrified. People actually do that.
People are doing it. It is a complete trend. So if we have to go back, mukbang, basically the loosely termed Korean term that states eating broadcast. That's basically what it means. And there's a level of fascination around it. I personally am quite fascinated with it. And there are many neurologists and neuropsychologists that have done research on this topic. And what they say is that mukbang is linked to ASMR, so autonomous sensory motor response. So it fundamentally means people find chewing and slurping sounds relaxing, and on the other hand,
what?
Some people find it exceptional.
What? What?
I personally find it quite annoying, but so I switch sound off. So it's actually a neural response, and this is where if you find the social channels like an Instagram and a TikTok doing so well, they are pushing ASMR. Within the content, and some mukbang content creators can make up to $10,000 a month eating the food of a restaurant or QSR service providers.
I'm absolutely speechless, and it doesn't even happen often. I'm very rarely speechless. People enjoy the sound. I can throw up from the sound of other people slurping.
Yeah.
It actually
slurping
makes me nauseous. Yeah.
Absolutely. Slurping and chewing, and then those sounds of opening up a packet. Emily Marie Coe on TikTok, she doesn't speak. So what she does is prepare a meal, and she was famous for that salmon rice mayo dish with the ice, and she puts it into the microwave. And I think the critical thing is here, she said not one word, and that thing went viral, millions and millions of views, for the very fact she used sounds, whether it was the beeping of the microwave because it's a sense of level of comfort, or whether it's the sound of the crackling piece of paper or something frying and sizzling that gives some level of psychological relaxation and excitement for humans.
That's so interesting. So the sound of sizzling I can get, you know, when you, that sound of, let's say, a piece of meat on a grill,
yes.
on a grill, like as you put it on, it goes, tsh, that I can get. But the sound of somebody else chewing or eating, I think that I, if ever I kill somebody, I think it could be for that very, very reason.
But apparently if you can't handle the sound of chewing, you could be a psychopath. I'm just saying.
Really?
Apparently there is a research study that goes around like that. But I think, Howard, on top of all of this, it's food inspiration. And that's where I guess a lot of us follow mukbang trend creators and follow the food bloggers. Because you wouldn't necessarily try a bowl of ramen, or you wouldn't necessarily try a butter chicken unless you were introduced by inspiration. And the trends on TikTok right now are exactly that. So a content creator will go, I've never eaten Indian, so join me eating Indian in my car. And then they show them dunking into a paratha and a butter chicken.
Which is incredible, actually, because then we really are being introduced to a whole world of culinary delights.
Correct. And that's where I advocate it, because you wouldn't have necessarily moved into Indian cuisine or Asian cuisine or Mexican or Guyanese cuisine. But you're moving into it now because you're being inspired to try new cultures and new cuisines. And I advocate it like that, because we are one world and we need to start exploring other things outside of the norm. And that's why I advocate mukbang.
That is so interesting. But this whole trend, of course, around, and it started probably more on Instagram, where people were Instagramming food and then photos of food that look absolutely amazing, and then it's moved to TikTok in terms of the preparation and the consuming of food.
Correct. And if I look at the way Hemant, my husband, and I use content, we focus still when it comes to Insta, and we really stylize the food, and we tell a story around the food and create a food memory and really try and enhance the food there. And then on TikTok, we show our food experience or cooking the food or prep of the food or behind the scenes of stylizing the food. So you have to, what content creators are doing now, they're creating content fit for channels. TikTok is not very stylized. It's quite authentic, quite grungy. But on the Insta side, you want to be quite posh, quite styled, quite pretty, in fact.
Oh, that's interesting. So there's almost this divergence of styles, one on TikTok and one on Instagram. I'm definitely much more of an Instagram person then.
Great. Yeah. And I find that my husband knows there's a nine-year difference. We married a spring chicken. So he prefers the Instagram side of things. I'm just putting it out there.
Yes, yes. Hashtag. Let the record reflect, yes.
The record shall reflect. He may phone you later, however. but on the TikTok side, I quite like the grunge side of things. So it's different schools. But I think when we're talking about, you know, imaging, the food imaging must tell a story. And that's something we advocate in our content creation. And food bloggers that we follow and respect really hold the food at the center and not the styling. And you see some photographers, I'm pretty sure as you're scrolling in that 3-second scroll, you scroll very fast because the food's not speaking to you. It's too stylized. There's too much white light on it. It looks fake. And that's something that we really need to catch a wake up with. The food needs to be authentic. It needs to be presented in a way that inspires someone to want
it
to
it. It needs to be accessible. Exactly. So what happens to the Martha Stewarts, you know, when you see her in this magnificent environment and she's preparing something? Is there still a market for that type of thing, or is there the trend away from that perfection to something much more accessible and relatable?
I think all food content inspires, and it's different genres for where you find yourself in your food journey. But there is still absolutely room for normal TV food content. So whether you switch on to the telly, whether it's live or on demand, polished, stylized, chop and chat shows that inspire some level of food travel or some a feast at your table, whether it's our Aina Gartens of the world or Nigella's or Pioneer Woman, it is still definitely that appeal. But where I'm seeing majority or double-digit growth in is that authentic, grungy content. Here, let me show you how to make a quick 2-minute meal. I've just come back from my shift, and I really need something quite quick and easy.
Right.
Consumers are moving into that space where give me something quick, easy, and tasty. So there's a space for all of that, but I'm seeing home cooking on the all-time increase. Consumers' pockets are strapped, so you can't eat out as much anymore. So home cooking is becoming an expression of creativity and fastness.
What's also interesting is I've noticed a trend to younger people, teenagers, becoming very, very interested in foods, becoming more foodies than their parents are even. And I guess it is the social media trend and the influences.
I've just followed the hashtag #FoodTok. You'll see how many billion views are on that. It's exactly that. And the next generation is seeing that they need to actually delve into multiple categories to actually find where their creative strength lies. I personally wanted to be a chef and I didn't follow that. I moved into commerce, but food has always been a fundamental in my life and my hubby's life. So which fundamentally means all roads will lead to food for us. And we've seen this new generation actually taking the risk. I personally have to think like 5 times before I post a piece of content, whereas the younger generation, they take the risk, they're less risk averse. And that's exactly why we're seeing a growth in food talk. And then second to which, it's a creative expression of me. So while some people may paint, others may scrapbook, we are seeing a vastly increasing growth in food expression as creativity.
Fascinating. Sadiqa Fakir, who is a foodie and food blogger. How do we follow you?
You can get me on Instagram, of course.
Of course.
And just Sadiqa Fakir is IKASAKIR, and ultimately I'm on the talk as well.
Okay, absolutely fantastic. What a great conversation. Thank you for enlightening me, certainly. It is 7:26. I'd love to hear from you. 345-19 or 061-895-1019. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.